inspiring, courage, and strength-building book. Because Peter is addressing this very subject of trials and temptations and problems and heartache and tears and pain and death and commitment as a Christian. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, there he says, don't think it strange about this fiery trial that's come on you. Because he said, this is common to your brothers are going through this too. Of course, that's little consolation to know that that somebody else is going to be thrown into the den of lions with you, or into an arena with gladiators. And so these people are wondering, what can we do? This is getting close to home. What can I do to survive? And here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 through 11, Peter gives some items for our survival kit. But it's not anything like what we would think. In fact, the things that he comes up with might seem pretty wimpy. But as you begin to look at it, what he's saying is become more and more like Jesus. For example, the first thing he tells us, if you want to survive in these hard times, if you want to come through this, then what you need to do is you need to have the spirit of submission. And like I said, when somebody's struggling with all of this, submission is not what you want to hear. You want to say, man, I need a sword, or I need a spear. I don't need this preaching stuff about submission. Of course, Peter could say, well, I've been through that. I've done that. I tried to pull my sword. And the master said, put that up. That's not what's going to make you strong. And Peter says here that a spirit of submission will give you power. Now that doesn't seem to really go together, does it? Submission and power? But this is not the first time here in 1 Peter that he's talked about submission. In 2nd chapter verse 13, he says, submit yourselves for the Lord's sake to every human institution. Chapter 2 and verse 18, he says, servants, be submissive to your masters. Chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, in the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands. Chapter 5 and verse 5 here, you younger men, likewise, be subject to your elders. And all of you be clothed with the humility toward one another. What is this submission that he's talking about? Well, it's not saying I will be inferior to you or to someone else. It's not saying that I'm going to become a doormat. The submission that he's talking about is one that is willing to place himself or herself under another equal that God may be glorified. Galatians 3 and verse 28. Why? Why do you do that? Because through submissiveness comes power. You are never more like Jesus than when you are humble, and you are never more like Satan than when you are rebellious. And so here, Peter is simply saying, learn to be submissive. Learn to be more like Jesus. Each of us have strengths that others do not have, and each of us have weaknesses that others do not have. And God makes us different so that we can put our strength and our weaknesses together and become one. And then Peter goes on to say, if you want to survive, you have to get on the right page. Which it seems like we are going in the wrong direction. I'm not sure what's going on here, y'all.
Stop showing my
songs. There we go. All right, here we go. Now we're working. All right, you've got to have the spirit of servitude. Clothe yourselves in humility, Peter says here. This is one of the most interesting phrases that you'll find in the Bible, because whenever Peter said to clothe yourself, in the Greek, that phrase literally meant to tie on an apron. To tie a knot and tie on an apron, which is a sign of what a servant would do when he or she was performing a menial task. And Peter, I think, purposely uses this figure of speech so that people would know and understand that humility was being a humble servant. You remember whenever the apostles were struggling to understand this. And Jesus had on several occasions had tried to impress this on these men, and they still hadn't gotten the message. I mean, like on one occasion, when James and John had brought their mother and asked the Lord, can we be a little bit more important than anybody else? And one of us sit on your right hand, one of us sit on your left hand. And Jesus had said then, until you learn to humble yourself. When you humble yourself, that's when you're exalted. And when you exalt yourself, that's when you're going to be abased. And another time, whenever they were fussing about who was a little bit more important than anyone else, and Jesus brought a child, you remember? And took this little child and said, until you become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You're not going to, until you learn. And then, I mean, just hours, literally hours before Jesus was going to be crucified, they're at the Passover meal, and they're squabbling like little children about who's going to get to sit next to Jesus. I want to sit next. It's my turn. You did it last time. I want to sit there. And Jesus gets up. He goes over and he discards his clothing. He picks up an apron and ties it around him in a towel. And he goes and starts washing the disciples' feet. And he comes to Peter, and Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. Because that was a sign of such a low, low servant. It was a custom, a nice custom. People wore sandals. The streets were filthy. So if someone came to your home, you had your lowest servant meet them at the door, take their sandals off, wash their feet. Refresh them. Honor them. And Jesus, here is Jesus, the Son of God, is a washing feet. And Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. All he did was put his foot in his mouth. Because Jesus said, if I can't wash your feet, you can't be any part of me. And Peter said, well, just wash me all over then. And Jesus said, you got to learn. He's going to put the souls of all mankind into the hands of these men who don't know how to be humble. Because they think that humility means weakness. And Jesus is trying to teach them, as Peter is suggesting here, that humility is strength and power. And he says here, if you are going to survive, you have got to learn to be humble. Now, Jesus wasn't instituting a church ceremony here when he washed the disciples' feet. He was simply setting for us an example of how to be clothed in humility. You know what? It's hard to look down on somebody when you're washing their feet. Peter says, if you want to make it through this, you've got to learn to be submissive. You've got to learn how to have the spirit of servitude. And you have to learn the spirit of serenity. Cast all of your anxieties upon him, for he cares for you, Peter says in verse 7. I know that these were some anxious times. I know that these Christians are really stressed out. But there's never been a time when we didn't have trouble, not exactly the same kind. You don't have to worry or be concerned that somebody's going to come through that door this morning and take us all into custody and put us in a gladiator arena next week. But there are troubles. We know that. We live in a world where that's a reality. Someone said there are three kind of people. Those who are having troubles. Those who just got over their troubles. Are those who are about to have troubles. And that's just about right. We live in that kind of world. Job said, man that is born of woman is a few days and what? Full of trouble. You just have to know. Now, some of you are sitting there thinking, well, why do I have to have so much? And you know, I agree. I agree that some of you are carrying some big burdens. And I'm prayerful about you. And I can't answer that question. I wished I could. I don't know why sometimes when it rains, it absolutely seems like that it pours, an old saying, trite saying, but so very true. It just seems like it gets harder and harder. But here Peter's saying, cast your cares upon him. And that cast is a strong word because it means deliberately, decisively. In other words, when we give Him our problems, it's because we do it on purpose. We decide to cast our cares upon Him. One time a man was walking along the road and carrying a big, big sack. And another man came along in a wagon and said, friend, would you like to have a ride? And he gladly accepted the ride. And as they went on a little way down the road, the man that was driving the wagon looked back and the man was still carrying his sack. And he said, why don't you put your burden down? And the man said, well, I didn't know you wanted to carry my burden too. Riding in the wagon, carrying his sack. But isn't that so typical of us sometimes? When the Master is so willing to help us, we keep carrying the sack. That's what the word cast means. If you've gotten in the wagon with the Master and He's promised to save you from your sins and give you salvation, don't you think He'll also help you with your burdens? That's part of what Jesus is. Who He is. Why He is. Cast your burdens upon the Lord. And then Peter says here that if you're going to survive, you got to have a spirit of sobriety. You better take this seriously. Simply because the Lord has promised and will do so, carry your burdens, doesn't mean that you can just take this thing lightly. You better be serious about this, Peter said. Because the devil is like a roaring lion, just going about looking for you. Yes, I said looking for you. He wants to destroy you. He wants your soul. He wants your life. And He wants your faith. And so, yes, you can have strength and comfort and power in Jesus, but you better be serious. Because your enemy, the devil, is. And Peter tells us three things that we really need to know about Satan, and that is you need to recognize him. You need to know that he is an enemy and that he is powerful. And you need to respect him because he is very, very powerful, like a roaring lion. And you need to resist him. Peter said that the devil has a desire that he might shift you as wheat, the Master told Peter. That's why he knew this. Because he stood up and said, Lord, not me. I'm going to fight for you till the end. And then a few hours later, he denies the Lord three times. So Peter understands what this false sense of superiority and security can do for you. He didn't take the Master's warning seriously, and it got him. And it really got him good. One time there was a lion in the jungle, and he went about with his chest out and roaring. And he went up to a little rabbit and he said, who is the king of the jungle? And the little rabbit said, well, you are. You're the king of the jungle. So he goes a little further with his chest out further, and he comes along and he finds a monkey. And he said to the monkey, who is the king of the jungle? And the monkey said, why, you are. You're the king of the jungle. So then he really got up his courage, and so he walks up to a bull elephant and he said, "Who is the king of the jungle?" And the elephant picks him up by the trunk and he flops and flops him and throws him up against a tree, and then he steps on his tail. And the old lion, kind of limping off, he said, "Well, just because you don't know the answer to the question, you don't need to get so mad. You know, sometimes we just can't get the picture. Satan is after you and will do anything and everything that he possibly can to destroy you." Seems like I remember someone saying, though, in Matthew 28 and verse 18, "All authority hath been given to me in heaven and in earth." 1 John 4 and verse 4, "He who is with you is greater than he who is in the world." But then finally this morning, Peter says, if you're going to be, if you really want to survive, you need the spirit of stability. You have to hang tough. I mean, sometimes, if it's just by the tip of your fingers, if you just have to just claw in and just hang on, and that's about all we can do sometimes. And that's what we need to do. Don't give up. Don't give over. And don't give in. Because the Master has said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Cast your cares upon him, for he cares for you." He's made us a promise that we are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. He has said, "Do not be weary in well-doing, for in due season you'll reap if you just don't quit." Paul writes and says, "Be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord." Now watch this part. Watch it now. "For you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." We're not just doing this for nothing. Because my God has promised a home. A home and a rest. And you know what? I believe him. I believe him for one reason, because he's God. For another reason, because he loved me. And for another reason, he cannot lie. God is telling me the truth. That if I can just make it through, if I can survive, and I can, and I must, and I will, with the Master's help, and he's going to give me a reward that'll be way, way better than anything and everything that I had to give up to get it. Will you come while together we stand and sing?
My hope is built on nothing less than in Jesus' blood and righteousness.